The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Fearless Friday with Jeff Parry.
And joining me now in the studio is Channel 7 senior reporter Jeff Parry. Did you hear Libby just then?
Three-pointed questions about leadership and three politicians' answers.
Yeah. You wouldn't expect anything else.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. No, that's for sure.
And that's the smart play, right, for her? Like, it's gonna be handed to her one way or another because David Honey's been a disappointment.
Well, having said that, from what I'm hearing and from what I'm reading, there's a couple of people who are quite pivotal to what happens in the Liberal Party that are not budging, so it doesn't sound like that's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, because there's some structural issues, right, I think, around having a member for VAS, a regional MP, running the Perth, very much Perth-based Liberal Party.
Well, sure, but our leader of the opposition lives in the country, so, I mean, you know, you can overcome those sorts of things. But there's only two of them, so, and thankfully there's an equity split there, man and a woman, so that, you know, they've conquered that mountain. Whether the power brokers that are opposed to her would give ground, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting though to hear David Honey sort of tout his possible replacements, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Basil, Zach, all good men, of course, they are.
Yeah, yeah. So do you see Baz as a future leader of the Liberal Party?
To be honest, I think the task is in front of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Just structurally, as the way it's sort of all set out, I think it would be a little way down the track. And I mean, the thing that the Liberal Party have to get over, of course, is all, you know, this problem with their power brokers.
Yeah, yeah.
And certain people within the party are trying to achieve that, but I think that's a very big ask. Certainly a big ask. I just they're entrenched. Mm. I don't think Peter Collier will hang around for a hell of a lot longer, but I think Nick Garan is there for the very long haul.
Yeah, they have to drag him out, I reckon. Because what else would he do?
He's a youngish man, yeah. So I mean, you know, he's got a lot ahead of him. He probably should think of putting his hand up and moving down to the lower house, seeing if he can lead the party.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
why isn't that thought of? Get Jorn Zimber. Zimber is one of the better performers, and he's in the upper house. Get him down to the lower house.
Yeah. You can rock the boat more in the upper house, though, which I think.
Well, not anymore because that's true. Position of weight vote waiting will be gone. So, if you want to make a noise, you get heard in the lower house. So get down there and do some work.
Yeah. And now let's talk Chris Dawson. He was heard yesterday at the Leadership Matters breakfast. It's kind of a rare, I guess, insight into his job, his life.
Indeed. And the work that they have to put in, some of, you know, the successes and some of the strains and that sort of stuff. It was interesting. I know he's been on the that agenda's been set for, like, him appearing at the West's regular breakfast for some time, but it's interesting that he was there and that people get a chance to see a side of him that they probably don't get the long form of him, if you like. We do who interview him and go to press conferences and that sort of thing. So it's interesting. He's a very interesting bloke. I think Owen Leach was the police commissioner. They were the rough old days, and the force has certainly changed over the years. Different styles, different commissioners. Some have been good, some have been bad. I think Chris Dawson's very good, and I think he's recognised as very good. Different style to Carlo Callaghan, who had great longevity in the job. But I've been saying this for a while. I think the government has future plans for Chris Dawson. I think he will be the next WA governor. There's a few other people who agree with that. Nevertheless, he's still got a job to do in front of him. And I think it's generally accepted that he doesn't have he's an honest broker, if you like. He doesn't have the political baggage or have to push a political wheel like Premier Mark McGowan has. So he's pretty much, heralded, if you like. In terms of, he spoke about Cleo and the sort of the effect that it had on people and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it was the smart move. He had the police who did that work with him in the audience or invited along. These guys are normally out, you know, on the beat and doing their stuff, and they've come along to listen to the boss talk. So and be recognised for it, which was great. That's smart. That's very smart tactics.
Well, celebrities,
but
really,
they were
aren't
the guys
they?
That did the grunt work. Yeah. I mean, you know, even I guess if the buck stops at the top, then so does the heralding. But they're doing very well at the moment, and I think they're very well positioned in the public's eyes.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And did Chris let the cat out of the bag with the border reopening?
This was Peter Law's scoop.
He asked for one.
He did, and he got it. It was a very clever question, and he I don't think he meant to ask it particularly, but it was a very sort of clarifying answer, if you like, that it would be January, because it's always been January, February. And he did, a couple of minutes later, he did come back and include February in that date, but who knows, was it an accident?
It's just an off-the-cuff thing?
I think it was just an off-the-cuff thing. Yeah. Maybe they've always said all along that they've got to reach 80% that before they will name a date, and they haven't reached 80% then, yet. So, you can't nail them to a date. It could be January, it could be February. But it was a bit of mischief making, I think, on our part more than than Chris Dawson's.
And the cops are on top, though. There's no doubt about it. With the Clio stuff, everything that's been going on. One area, I guess, with the glaring area where they still to make some headway is against the bikies.
Yeah.
And so there were some new laws introduced this week to help crack down on that. What did you make of that?
I think they're just chipping away at these organisations, which is pretty much all they can do. I mean, the stuff about the patches, all that sort of stuff's still got to go through. Whether it works, at the end of the day, we'll find out, I guess. But, the gun rule, I would have thought the existing gun rules you could apply, to bikies anyway, I'm sure.
You can prohibit them from owning firearms, but now they'll be able to prohibit family members and juveniles from also owning firearms just because of their association, and they'll have new search powers, and the penalties have ramped up. So it's about making the lives uncomfortable for the bikies. Like Paul Papalia was on the show, and he said to us, the message is, if you're a bikie, get out of WA.
Give a bikie a licensed gun. What does that mean? He's got a license. Yeah. Give a bikie a criminal gun, which is just been smuggled in or stolen or whatever. I don't think the licensing laws are going to have a jot of difference. if he wants to get if a bikie wants to get a gun and hide it, down the toilet hole, at home or whatever, and then just pull it out when he wants to go and shoot up some other person's house. Pretty hard to nail.
Well, I think we saw, as we saw with the sniper assassination of Nick Martin, if you're using a gun or a part of a gun that's licensed to you, it's probably a bad idea if you're planning to shoot somebody.
Well, and then go and tag in using the Safe WA app, Ben. So,
Yeah, exactly.
That was a case in itself, and I think. But look, if bikies want to get guns, they'll get guns. They'll smuggle them in like they smuggle in drugs.
Yeah. They don't really care about that.
Licensing isn't going to make any difference.
No, it'll be maybe the searching. Like if they're constantly searching their houses and being just a nuisance like that,
but they pretty much get turned over whenever the cops want to turn them over anyway. Yeah. I don't think they have any trouble going to a JP, a friendly JP down the road who will sign a warrant for them to go. And
so what do you think? Bit of optics then? Bit of optics? Look like we're tough on bikies?
No, I think they are tough on bikies, but the bikies are hard to be tough on. They push back, or they certainly push back against each other. It might be optics, but I think they're just doing their job. And when you're pulling over 50 bikies on a run, it's hard to hide it. And when you're knocking over trucks with $40 million worth of cash and drugs in it, wouldn't you shout that to the world?
Yeah, exactly. And now, one thing that the McGowan government certainly won't be shouting to the world is Barry Urban's appearance in court. That was just a saga that I'm sure Mark McGowan would just prefer to forget about. Although I have been to events where he has made a joke about it, so I think he maybe can see the funny side of it.
I'm not sure he does anymore. This, of course, was broken by our friend Gary Adsead when he worked here at the West Australian. And has been going on for years now, a lot longer than it should have. Of course, we then got onto his nefarious activities with the tyres, which he now faces about 54 charges. They've just been laid against him. So, he's still got a little way to go, Barry. But I think it's pretty tragic. And I know that his own party and the people in the Premier circles had sort of a God's own sort of problem with sort of trying to sort that mess out, and at the end it was just unfathomable, and he was charged. And I, the Premier acknowledged yesterday, it was all pretty bizarre, but it was also pretty sad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard when someone lives, it seems, lives that life through just fantasy. An imaginary fantasy.
Fantasy, yeah. It's sad, I think, is the word.